We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
Well, praise the Lord. I am so glad to get to be able to speak to you guys again tonight. And, you know, again, like I just prayed and what we've been talking about this year has been the Zoe life. It's the God kind of life, that there is a life that God wants us to have through what he said for us that we can have. And it's been a great year. It's been a great year. Just a lot of really great, solid teaching. And I pray that even as we end this year and we go on to another theme for next year, we don't live thinking like this. I mean, that there is a God kind of life, that God wants us to live a certain way. But in this, as I just was praying and I was reading scripture the other day, I came across this passage out of Ephesians 4, and I wanted to read it to you guys because it's kind of where I'm going to be at for the next for this weekend, for next week. But Ephesians 4, verse 22, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And at first glance, this passage can seem pretty standard for what you have heard, what you will heard, and what you will have continued to have heard going forward. The old man and the new man. And that never should be something that we ever put aside and stop talking about. And as a matter of fact, we're gonna talk a little bit about it even tonight. But the main part, the main passage of this is right there at the end where it says to be created to be like God. And tonight, what I want to talk to you about is what this scripture's saying. Be like God. Be like God. And at first, that can kind of be something that when you read it, you go, well, hold on. We can't be like God. I mean, we can't be like God, especially if your faith is more of that of, you know, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not trying to seek equality with God. All these things that run through your mind when you read that, but yet we just read to be created like God, to be like God. And I want to challenge you tonight. Hebrews 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." See, people have this habit when it comes to our faith about making our faith only ever be about us being good or us being bad, us doing right or us doing wrong, us being good boys or us being bad boys, us being good girls or us being bad girls. And we make our faith sometimes just so much only just about, oh, I'm just so wretched. Oh, I'm just so unclean. Oh, I'm just so... And never really thinking that your faith is supposed to, whenever God said he wanted to transform you, that there was a step further of what God's wanting to do. See, it's kind of like a ketchup bottle. Or a mustard bottle. Either one works. But you know when you just get it out of the fridge, because you're going to use it, right? And you just dump it over, and you go to use it, and what's the first thing that comes out? The watered down stuff. The problem is there's a lot of Christians that's how they operate every time. And they're only used to the watered down stuff, and they think that's what the whole stuff tastes like. And they've gotten used to, over the years, that's what their faith is. That's what they're motivated towards. Well, let me have just a little bit of that. And they don't understand that the good stuff is just a little bit deeper. Sometimes we may even have to take it and shake up that stuff, shake up our faith a little bit to know that there's something a little bit sweeter. It's got a little bit more flavor. That there is something a little bit more than just watered down religion. God's purpose behind the life that he called for you to live is not to feel like you're getting your butt kicked down here all the time. And we've got to know that there's more to the God kind of life than just being, I'm just wretched, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, I'm just poor me, poor me, poor me. God's hope is that you would allow yourself to move beyond just the elementary things and move into a place where you can be created in Christ to be like God. Now again, this is not apart from him. John 15:5 says what? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. See, a lot of people are trying to be like God apart from God, and that's never worked. Let's go back to heaven all the way in the beginning. Lucifer got kicked out of heaven for what? Wanting to be like God apart from God. Then you go into the garden and he perpetuated that amongst Adam and Eve. No, the reason why God says not to eat that is because he knows that you'll be like him, apart from him. And if you really consider everything that we do that is sin, what is it? We're trying to justify and be like God apart from God. We're trying to do good apart from the vine. And see, whenever God's calling us to something like this, what he's saying is, look, I'm calling you and trying to create in you an opportunity to be like me through me, not apart from me. Be like me through me. Be like me through me. I am the vine, you are the branches. We've got to understand there's a lifestyle that we've been called to. Matthew 5:20 says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. If you look this verse up in my Bible, it's written in red. That means Jesus Christ said it. Now, for some people, we might be going, oh gosh, my righteousness has to be greater than that of the Pharisees and the scribes. How am I going to do that? You're not. Because apart from God, you'll be just like the scribes and the Pharisees. And their obedience was an outward obedience, but not an inward obedience, because with God, for God, I'm doing these things. You with me? Righteousness is deeper, so much deeper than outward obedience. And our obedience has to come from our heart, not from what we can gain culturally, socially, or spiritually. But Romans 3:21 says, but now apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ, to whom all believe. There is no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. This is the righteousness that you should partake of, not apart from God, not just through the law and obedience to the law of God, but with God, through God, to be made like God. We can't do it away from God. We can never be like God apart from God. God can't create in us the aspects that he's wanting to recreate inside of us to be like him apart from him. And you got to know that if we'll stick to the word, these things will happen in us. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God, through his word, has sent out his word to transform us and accomplish for himself on this earth what he intended it to be. And that was to make you and I to be the very body of Christ. We're to be like God. God gives us his word to transform us into and be able to handle aspects to be like God. Not to challenge him, not to say I'm the center of the universe, but that I can do the very things that God wants me to do. That I can bring the things that God wants us to bring. We're co-laborers with Christ, is what the word says. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. A lot of scripture here, but I want you to get what I'm saying. I want you to see where we're going with this. This isn't me just trying to speak heretics and say we're all little gods. That's not what I'm trying to say. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. You got to know right off the bat, I'm not talking about being to be made like God so that we can use it to our advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, look at verses 6 through 8. It says, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Jesus is our example of what God is wanting to do here on this earth. God is trying to recreate in us something beyond just watered down people who show up to a watered down place and just water down, make it through life, and maybe somehow we'll manage. I don't know how we're going to have peace, but somehow we'll have somehow we'll make it through this. No, God has tried to work in us the thought process and show us the example of Christ that we can be made to be like him. That's what he's been trying to do. That's why Christ came, not just to save us from sin, but to transform in us and create us into something more. God, by his own power, desires us to be like him to accomplish his will on earth as his ambassadors. And we have to see it. We have to see it. And when we do these things and we begin to see, okay, yes, I see some of that, but what is it? What does it hold for us? What does this do for us? Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us where? Seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. If God wasn't intending for you to walk in authority and be like God, why would he try to seat you with Christ? Not just with Christ, not just in the room with Christ, but in Christ. Well, I was talking a little bit with this with the students at school. And you have to understand, when we're talking about being seated, that doesn't mean sitting like we're sitting right now. There's a position of authority that we hold, and we are seated not just in heavenly places, but we are seated in Christ Jesus. And where does Christ Jesus sit? Where does Christ Jesus sit? I want to ask you this question. Where do you sit? What seat do you hold? Again, caveat needed. Not apart from God. Not to be used for our own advantage, outside of the intended purpose and the advantage that it's supposed to give us. There is an advantage to be had, people. There is an advantage to be had. Not for personal, but for his glory. How sweet it is when we begin to realize what our Savior has done for us, when we allow him to move through us. When we begin to see that we are seated in Christ Jesus, and if we are seated in Christ Jesus, then our enemy is not on the same plane as us. We're not locked here on this earth and trapped here to be tempted by him, to be afflicted by him, to be at his mercy and his will and his things. Rather, if we are seated in Christ Jesus, let's look to what the Word says in Psalm 110:1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Where do you sit? Where do you sit? Where are you seated? Your enemy is under your feet. Your eternal enemy is under your feet. You have authority by the word of God. Your enemy is under your feet. We've got to start getting our mentalities changed. We've got to stop reading over stuff like this and understand that there's more to this faith business than God, forgive me for my sin. God, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm not trying to say that repentance is not a part of what we're supposed to be doing. We are. There's absolutely what we should be doing is those things. But quit getting caught up on, well, I have to repent, therefore. Your righteousness was not credited to you because of outward obedience, but rather inward obedience to the word of God. So stop letting outward circumstances and the enemy's lies confuse you that your seat is somewhere different than where it actually is. Because the enemy doesn't want you thinking that you're seated in heavenly places. He doesn't want that. He wants you confused. And we have to pursue this. We have to pursue this. We have to pursue this. We can't, this isn't something you can just read one time and go, okay, I'm seated in heavenly places. Because apart with the transformation and the sanctification and all the things that it takes to become mature, that's not a one-time reminder. We have to live this out. We have to pursue this. And there are reasons why in our thinking we don't. And so that's what I want to address this week. The three reasons why we don't live like this. The three reasons why we don't. And what I want you to hear is this: none of this is to be shameful. I want this to be a revelation that there is a God kind of life beyond the elementary things of the faith. So here we go. The first reason why we don't pursue this is because, and the reason why people don't is because they just don't know it's possible. I didn't know it was even possible for me to be like God. And I'll say it again to you kind of like this: you don't know what you don't know exists. If you don't know something exists, I didn't even know that was a thing. There's a lot of Christians that live like that. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe that there's a seat of power that they're supposed to have. That you're supposed to hang on a true spiritual elder's words and never for yourself investigate who you are in Christ. You don't have to rely. This isn't just, oh, well, Chapman said it, so then therefore, this is the word of God. And I think you all can get on board with me in this. Ignorance isn't always bliss. What you don't know can actually still very much, in fact, hurt you. And us continuing to live, well, I just didn't know. Okay, well, when you gonna know? When you gonna know that you know this? Hosea 4, verses 6 through 9. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. And normally that's where we stop. But we keep going here. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more priests there were, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. You are supposed to study what is in the Word of God for yourself. You need to study what's in the Word of God for yourself. I get it. You didn't know that. You may not have known that. You may not have known everything. You may not know everything. I'll never know everything. But I still don't give up on the duty of what I have to do as a priest. It is my job to study and know what the Word of God says. Lifeway did a study of the percentages of people who read their Bibles as to track a reason for the moral decline in our country. Okay? This was 4 years ago, the study was. And the results are shocking. 49% of people, so that's less than half, who say they have a religious belief. It's not even just Christians. 49% of them say they read their Bible. Versus the 16% of people who say they have no religious belief whatsoever, yet they read their Bibles at least once a month. That's once a month. Well, you can't know what you don't know. Well, you'll never know what you never seek to know. 39% of those who attend church read at least once a month. I'm talking about on their own. At least once a month, 39%. 40% of men that are believers versus 60% of women that are believers read the Bible at least once a month. As far as the age gap goes, the boomers and above are 48%. 48%. Gen X is 38%. These are believers, by the way. 38% Gen X, Millennials 33%, and Gen Z 30%. If you aren't paying attention to those numbers as our culture is going on and we get these more fancy names, I don't know what we're going to go after Gen Z. I'm going to create more letters. Alpha, there's already a new one. Alpha. A, yeah, back to A, we roll it back. But the number just keeps getting smaller and smaller. How are you going to know? How are you going to know? The reasons. Because they always, in the polls, they always ask. The number one reason that people say they didn't read their Bible is because they didn't deem it necessary. I don't need to read it. I go to church. That was the number one reason of churchgoers. I don't need to read it. I go to church. Why do I need to read it? I go to church, they read it to me. These are believers. How are we going to know? But 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. How are you going to know if you don't read? How are you going to know if you don't study what the Word of God says? How are you going to be able to have faith? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're not going to read it, how are we going to hear? How are we going to know? You can't have faith for something. Guys, this is the ploy of the enemy to continue to water down till our whole bottle is just completely watered down. And then eventually, once it gets watered down enough, then he can start adding to it. That's why we have these churches around that have added to. They've added to what your faith can be. Well, these people can get married. Well, these people are, it's okay to live that way. We got room for everything in our ketchup bottle. Number one, that's the first reason. The reason why people don't know that they can be created like God is because they just don't know. Second reason why people don't know or don't pursue trying to be created like God is because they don't think they can. You don't really know. I don't think I can. I know other people can. I just don't believe that I can. And here's what I want to say like this. You won't have what you don't think you can have. You'll never have what you don't think you can have. And don't get me wrong, there are some things I know now I will never have. I'll never have a long MBA career. I've come to accept that. I've moved into that place. And I'll never pursue that. I will never pursue having a long MBA career. Because I know I'm never going to have that. That should not be how we are when it comes to the Word of God and the things of God that God's access to. If God's Word says it, believe it. If God's told you that you can have it, believe it. I said this earlier, but Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to hear it. And not just one time. Not just enough to, well, okay, I guess if the Word says so. No, get it in you, priest. Get it in you, chosen nation. Live seated in Christ, not apart from God, trying to be obedient so one day I sure hope one day I can go to heaven. God says if you're a believer, you're already seated in Christ. Where's Christ? He's in heaven. You can live that way now. There's a God kind of life you can live right now. Quit waiting. Quit fighting against what the Bible said that you can have. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like a player. I used to coach some of these who they don't know the play. They don't do in the play what they know they should do because they don't want to get in the way. Well, okay, I know that I'm supposed to stand here, but then this changed, and then the whole time you're just like, just play. I get it. That was the play. I get that. But like, just be a player. Be involved. Look, you have permission. Go and do it. Well, I just don't. Okay, they passed me the ball. What am I supposed to do with it? Shoot. Well, stop. You have all the tools necessary for you. The same Spirit of God, the same Word of God is active and alive inside of you. And it's seeking to transform you to be like God. Stop acting like you don't know what to do. You do. You do. And the last point is the reason why people don't think that they can be like God is because they don't want it to be possible. And this is tough. They don't want it to be possible. And I'll explain why. It's easier to live under, well, I'm just a sinner. Really think about this, because I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Please hear me. I want you to hear my thought on this. It's easier to live, well, I'm just a sinner and I can't be like God. I can't be like God. Because in order for us to actually take that step that way would require us to take responsibility of some things that we really, if we actually were being honest with ourselves, I kind of like doing still. I've not quite had enough of this creating death in my life just yet. And I'm just not quite ready to turn this over yet. See, everybody thinks they want to be God until it actually comes time for you to do the things that God does. Where do you think the fruits of the Spirit come from? They come from God. Where do you think having patience comes from? Well, I want to be like God. Try being patient. I want to be like God. Try having some joy. Try having some peace. You just cause chaos all day long. Why don't you try to cause some peace? It's just easier. Hear me. Not shame, not condemnation. It's easier for us to live like our old self than the new transformed self that God's trying to turn us into and make us be like God. We're still fighting the urge to be like God away from God. Well, what I'm doing really ain't that. It really ain't that bad. Come on. Like you've never. Come on. Are we determining what's good? Or are we going to let God determine what's good? Because when we let God determine what's good, then what He can create in us is good. And then we can have good with God instead of without God, which is actually bad. The reason why some people don't pursue and don't believe is because we get comfortable. We like eating the watered down ketchup or the watered down mustard on our sandwich. We like it. We've gotten used to it. See, you're telling me I'd have to go deeper in my faith. I'd have to actually learn a little bit more. Matthew 13, verse 13. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. They fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that says, When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. We've got to stop letting ourselves get so comfortable with hearing the same old things every time and not ever letting them challenge us to go deeper. We got to get real careful. Be like God, no thanks. I want to still be like me. You can. Where's that going to lead you? Are you happy? If your Christianity isn't pushing you to be like Christ, I wouldn't just say you're not fulfilling your faith quite how God would want you to. I would say you're not fulfilling it at all. If your faith doesn't ever push you to be more like God, then either one of two things is true. Either you've arrived, or... Amen. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You are called to be transformed, transformed into a new creature, not a trans-spiritual creature. A transformed creature is not something in the middle. It was one thing and now it's another thing. You're not to be a trans-spiritual thing that is, well, I'm a little of this and I'm a little of that and I'm something in the middle and I'm not quite one. It's kind of like a platypus. It's kind of like a duck and it's kind of like an otter and it's kind of like this and it lays eggs and it's kind of that. It just looks weird. It looks weird. And let me tell you what happens to Christians who live like that trying to serve two masters. We just get earth, and we never get heaven. We get frustration. We get confusion. It's all muddied. Nothing's clear. Nothing. There's nothing that's lasting. There's little. We have little, yeah, and then it's, oh, ah, oh. You're not consistent. You're not the same. You get blown around by the wind, tossed by the waves. You're double-minded and everything you... Because you're not letting yourself just go ahead and be transformed and you're trying to stay somewhere in the middle. We got to get out of this. Because anything with this in the middle still has the old man still inside. And the old man's got to be put to death. I can't get in too much into my message for next week, but the old man's got to be put to death. And his old ways got to be put to death so that then we can live as the new man. So that we can be created to be like God. So that we can go ahead and let our minds be transformed. There's still sanctification. There's still repentance. There's still all these things over here. But again, I'm not made righteous by outward obedience. I'm made righteous too because my heart is, Lord, I want to be just like you. God, I want to be just like you. God, I want to do your will. I want to love people the way you love people. I want to forgive people the way you forgive people. Lord, I want to walk in authority and not in fear. I don't want to be afraid of things, of man, of terror, of, Lord, get me out of that. Lord, I'm putting that to death. Lord, I'm rebuking anger on me. Lord, I'm going to walk in the fruits of... That is what God's trying to move us to, but we've got to get out of being the thing in the middle. We want to be like God. We want to be like God. We want to speak the word of God. We want to know the will of God so that we can do the work of God. Christianity was not meant to be spiritual welfare. It wasn't supposed to be spiritual welfare where you'd get a little handout from heaven and you just keep on keeping on. No, you're going to be transformed. No, you've been seated in heaven in Christ Jesus. No, you are going to be given authority over your enemy, and you're going to crush his head, And we're going to crush his head every time he comes up. We're going to resist him, and he's going to flee from us. And if he thinks he's going to show his face back, I'm right here waiting. I'm right here waiting. You don't have any power. You don't have any authority here. So in closing, we have to see our faith in Christ Jesus more than just maybe where we've left it at. God gave us Christ so that our sins could be forgiven, so the Holy Spirit could come, so that we could be transformed and be created to be like God. Again, not apart from God, but with God. With God to do godly things. Not seeking equality with God as something to be used for our own advantage, but to be used under his will and to do the works of God here on this earth. And none of the old gets to be a part of it. None of the old man gets to be a part of it. So we put him to death and we allow ourselves to be raised to new life as a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. And next week we're going to talk more about being like God.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.